Live Creative Now, episode 20.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. This episode is sponsored by the Erase the Chaos Toolkit, the ebook and companion workbook to get you from chaos and overwhelm, overwork, overstress, to the kind of full-color life your heart is longing for. The Erase the Chaos Toolkit will help you hone in on the specific causes of your time crunch chaos and give you the tools you need to clear your plate and make space for creative joy. Liberate white space so your full color life can flourish and bloom and shine in all its vibrancy. You can get your very own copy at livecreativenow.com/erase-chaos. That's livecreativenow.com/erase-chaos. And now I have a little heads up. If you are anywhere in or around or near New York City and you'd like to get together with me in 3D in person, I'm coming into town very soon over the weekend of October 10th and 11th. I'm coming into town for a public speaking masterclass with Michael Port, as part of his book launch party for his new book, Steal the Show, which I just read, by the way, and highly recommend if you're interested in public speaking. And so I'm going to this masterclass, which is just one day, Monday, October 12th, Columbus Day, in Manhattan. But since I'm flying all the way from California, I decided to turn it into an opportunity to bring my living room tour to the New York, New Jersey area. So on Saturday, October 10th, I'll be teaching a half-day Unleash Your Inner Creative Creativity Workshop, and performing an evening house concert at a private home in New Jersey. If you're interested in the Michael Port Masterclass, I believe there's still space. You can find out more at steeltheshow.com/book-tour-nyc. I'm not an affiliate, I don't earn a commission or anything, but I am on Michael Port's show team for the book launch, which means that I get behind the scenes view of the launch, which is really cool, and I'm helping out with promotion where I can. And I signed up for the masterclass myself because the value for the cost is amazing. It's just $199 for a full day. Plus, it includes 10 copies of his book and a whole slew of amazing bonuses that add up to, I think it's like $1,600 or something. So it's kind of irresistible. If you're interested in joining me for my half-day Unleash Your Inner Creative Creativity Workshop or my evening house concert on October 10th, I don't have a webpage for it yet, so the best thing to do for now is to get on my mailing list, which you can do by going to livecreativenow.com and plop your info into the form at the top of the page, and I will let you know all the details as soon as I have them. And now, on with today's episode. So you've probably seen pictures of that archetypal chaotic artist's studio, right? A terrible jumble of things, and like a tornado went through it. It's kind of an iconic image. Or the picture of the writer's desk just piled to the rafters with papers, like jumbles of papers. These are so iconic. There's a really famous picture of Einstein's desk on the day that he died, and it's often pointed to as evidence that clutter and mess is required for creative genius, that it's part of creative genius. In fact, there's a quote that's often miscredited to Einstein. If a cluttered desk signs a cluttered mind, of what then is an empty desk a sign? That apparently is a misattribution. There is actually no evidence that I can find anywhere, and that I checked on WikiQuote, Wikipedia. There's no evidence that Einstein actually ever said this quote, but it's often attributed to him. The upshot is that we have this idea that creative genius is facilitated by clutter. And in fact, there are some studies that even suggest that messy environments encourage originality and a search for novelty. So in other words, creativity. I will include a link in the show notes to a particular study that was written about in an article in the New York Times, in which Kathleen Vose and two of her colleagues speculated that messiness might actually serve a purpose, just as tidiness serves a purpose, and that tidiness has been associated with upholding societal standards. And so they predicted that just being around tidiness might possibly elicit a desire for convention. And they predicted also the opposite, that being around messiness would lead people away from convention in favor of new directions. And so they conducted some experiments to test out their hypotheses, which they reported on in the Journal of Psychological Science, and their hunches were borne out. So for their first study, what they did is they arranged rooms in their laboratory to either look tidy, with books and papers very stacked and orderly, or to look messy, with papers and books strewn around haphazardly. And then they invited 188 adults to visit the lab one at a time, ostensibly for a consumer choice study. And each subject was assigned either to a messy room or to a tidy room. And when they were in the room, they were shown a menu from a deli that made fruit smoothies. And the smoothies were said to come with a quote-unquote boost, some kind of added ingredient. And there were three options to choose from: a health boost, a wellness boost, or a vitamin boost. And they created two different versions of the menu. Half of the subjects saw a menu that had the word classic, highlighting the health boost option, whereas the other half saw the health boost option highlighted by the word new. And so the subjects made their choices from the menu. And as predicted, when the subjects were in the tidy room, they chose the health boost more often, almost twice as often when it had the classic label. In other words, when it was associated with convention. And also, as they predicted, when the subjects were in the messy room, they chose the health boost more often, more than twice as often, when it was said to be new, that is, when it was associated with novelty. So in other words, this sort of indicates that people tended to prefer convention, greatly prefer convention in the tidy room, and greatly prefer novelty in the messy room. And as Kathleen Vose writes in the New York Times article, given that divergence from the status quo is the essence of ingenuity, we conducted a second experiment to test whether messiness fostered creativity. So they brought in, for this particular part of the study, they brought in 48 research subjects individually to the lab. And again, they were assigned either to a messy room or to a tidy room. And this time, the subjects were told to imagine that a ping pong ball factory needed to think of new uses for ping pong balls. And they were asked to write down as many ideas as they could. Then they had independent judges rate the subjects' answers for how creative they were done. And apparently that can be done reliably, although she doesn't explain how that's done. But in any case, answers, just to give you an example, some answers that rated low in creativity included using ping pong balls for beer pong, which is a party game that uses ping pong balls, so it's not really an innovative idea. And answers rated high in creativity included things like using ping pong balls as ice cube trays and attaching them to chair legs to protect floors, things like that, really out of the box kinds of things. So when they analyzed the responses, they found that the subjects in both types of rooms came up with about the same number of ideas, which meant they put about the same effort into the task. But the messy room subjects were more creative, which was what they expected. Not only were their ideas 28% more creative on average, according to these independent judges, but when they analyzed the ideas that the judges scored as quote-unquote highly creative, they found a really remarkable boost from being in the messy room. Those subjects came up with almost 5 times the number of highly creative responses as their tidy room counterparts did. And it's worth noting that these results have also been confirmed by independent researchers at Northwestern University, who found that subjects in a messy room drew more creative pictures and were quicker to solve a challenging brain teaser puzzle than subjects in a tidy room. So the article in the New York Times goes on to say that the findings have practical implications. For example, there's a really minimalist design trend taking hold in contemporary office spaces. And these private walled-in offices are very much out of favor. Even private cubicles are out of favor. Today's office environments often involve desk sharing, and they have very, very minimal footprints, a lot less office space per worker, which means less room to make a mess. And at the same time, the working world is like on fire about the idea of cultivating innovation and creativity. And their findings suggest that this might be hampered by the minimalist movement. So all of this is very interesting. And it seems to indicate that creative genius, again, is facilitated by clutter. But here's something that the study very, very significantly did not touch on, and that is the difference between mess and clutter. This is, I think, really a shame, because something very, very critical is left out when the difference between mess and clutter is not dealt with. And that something could really be hampering your own creative joy and freedom. So I want to take a moment to look at that difference right now. The words mess and clutter are often used interchangeably, but they are not the same. They are not at all the same. I will link in the show notes to a table that I created in a blog post that is a summary of what I'm sharing here. And I've got a column for mess and a column for clutter, and I'm going to go over those here. So first, mess. Mess is a healthy, natural part of life. Mess is a sign that your space is lived in, that your space is enjoyed. Clutter, on the other hand, is excess stuff that takes up space and saps energy. It's stagnant. It is not a sign that your space is lived in and enjoyed. The energy is dead. Mess is temporary. Mess is relatively easy to deal with as well. It's relatively easy to clean up. Clutter is long-term. Clutter is permanent. Clutter does not clean up quickly. Mess is usually composed of items that get a lot of use, items that are loved because they're used all the time, and they can be tidied up and they can be put away because everything has a home to go to. Clutter is composed of items that are not used, not wanted, not loved. And though it takes up space in your home, it doesn't have a real home. Mess does not get endlessly ignored. Clutter does. Clutter is like wallpaper. It's very easy to ignore. And it's very important to note that mess can become clutter if it's ignored for too long. That happens to me a lot. Mess gets moved around. Mess gets used often, and it allows energy to flow. Clutter, on the other hand, usually stays put, and it blocks energy in your space. It does not allow it to flow. It blocks it. Creating a mess can often be very energizing and bring you joy. I mean, think about creating the mess when you're making a really great meal, or creating a mess when you're painting or doing something creative. It's energizing. It's joy-inspiring. Clutter, on the other hand, drains energy, and it has absolutely no redemptive qualities. Mess is an inherent part of the creative process, an inherent part of the creative process, whereas clutter is a massive block to creativity. So to basically encapsulate it in one little statement, if it's energizing you, it's mess. If it's draining you, it's clutter. These are such important differences. And now that you know the difference, and again, there's a handy dandy little table that you can look at in the corresponding blog post that I'll link to in the show notes. I think the important thing to do is to start to pay attention. Ask yourself, when you look at your environment, which one are you dealing with? Is it mess or is it clutter? I would be really, really curious to see what would happen with that study if they put people in a room that was mess versus a room that was clutter, because I know I can feel it energetically when I'm in my own cluttered space or when I'm in the house of a hoarder. I can feel the energy getting sucked right out of me. I don't know about you, but I could totally feel that. So I'd be really curious what happened with that experiment. Here's where it's a great place to use my golden formula. Self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. The first part of that self-awareness is noticing. Notice how mess and clutter make you feel. And then respond with gentleness. Regardless of how you're feeling, remind yourself that you're human, that plenty of other people struggle with clutter, struggle with cleaning their messes up. And that's the self-compassion piece, acknowledging that you're human and being kind and gentle with yourself. And the first step there is awareness. That's always the first step. You do not have to go crazy. You don't even have to do anything right now. Just start to pay attention and think about how your space is right now, compared with how you wish your space were in an ideal world. And remember, every accomplishment starts with a vision. So start picturing your dream space, because if you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream the kind of space you want your environment to be, you can create it. For right now, just start dreaming it. If you'd like help clearing your clutter, stay tuned, because I've got something coming up in a few weeks that might just change your life. But for today, that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you would like to get a chance to chat with me live and ask a question live about living a full-color creative life, you can do it through the end of 2015, because I'm holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month. Just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and click the big green button to register. That's livecreativenow.com/questions. And meanwhile, if you're enjoying this podcast, if you're getting value out of it, please share it with other people that you think might enjoy it. And you know, the best thing you could do that would make me the most happiest and pay me back for the time I put into these podcasts would be to go over to iTunes and leave a big old 5-star rating and a review. Those ratings and reviews make such a big difference in how the show is ranked, and that makes a big difference in helping other people find it, and that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play a really important role in this movement simply by leaving an iTunes review. Plus, I would be really, really grateful. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.